Hey, grandkids, welcome to OPA 21. We have been off a couple of weeks here, Ken. Things have been a little bit crazy. Yeah. Unfortunately, Stunt Granny is not the only website you work on.
Yeah, I guess it's true. I have, you know, once in a while I do things that will pay me money, so I take those opportunities when they come. So, but, you know, I feel in a way we were just paying solidarity to the sports guy Bill Simmons while he was out on his suspension. We just sort of, I don't know, we
refrained from watching ESPN.
Yep, I don't even have cable now, so of course, yeah, I haven't had it for a while, but I didn't watch any ESPN during that whole time we were down, Kevin. You know, we're back.
The internet has heard our message.
Yeah, I think so. I think our boycott was really effective because he came back. You know, they brought him back, and then we're like, you know what? That's our job is done. Like, we did what we set out to do.
The world is a better place now.
Yes. We're going to sleep easy.
Rest well, everyone.
Chalk one up for the good guys. All right. So, you're back from your trip. I'm back from my craziness for now. And we're ready to talk some OPA.
Yeah. Well, it's not really OPA. It's I guess it could be OPA, but it's about architecture in Germany, so it's kind of hard to
I was trying to find a stretch.
Oh, you know what? Altoona, German city. Its original city is in Germany. There we go.
Okay.
We can make the connection that way.
So, speaking of German cities and things that you might find in German cities, like, I don't know, buildings? They have those in Germany.
They do happen to have buildings, just like everyone else.
Outstanding. But,
there are several famous ones over there. And there are a lot of famous ones over there that are made primarily full of straight lines.
Yes, you got that kind of vibe of like the efficient German.
The style would be called Bauhaus.
Bauhaus.
Yeah, it would be the main innovator of that. Adolf Loos, they mentioned, in reference to the architect that we will be talking about, which is Friedrichs Hundertwasser.
He had some crazy, like, made-up name that he gave himself to, which was, like, 16 syllables, I think.
Oh, well, that his regular name is long enough. It doesn't need to have anything more in there.
Yeah, he seems like a very colorful individual, literally. Was known for dressing up in colorful clothing.
Mismatching socks.
Yes.
Garish colors, you might say.
Sort of a nonconformist type. I would say, but he had some. I guess basically the podcast episode that got us talking about it was called "A Straight Line Is a Godless Line," which was a quote from one of his talks he gave. Apparently,
yeah,
he was not a big fan of straight lines. In fact, we were just looking at a bunch of pictures of his work. Some buildings that he had built, and would you say there's maybe we were debating whether there were some straight lines? Maybe there's a couple.
I felt like there were some. They said in the at least one of the portions that we listened to that he didn't even have straight floors. I mean, that's just straight being an ass. Like, I can handle, you know, wanting to go funky on the exterior, on windows, on many items. That's cool. But, come on, man. You need a flat floor. It's just practical. People are built to be on flat surfaces.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that they can climb rocky surfaces, but as far as the comfortability factor goes, I would suppose that a flat floor is the best.
I'm just looking around. I have a couple pieces of furniture with wheels on them, and if you had that on a, you know, I don't know what he means, but are there like dips in the floor, or is it just at an angle?
I have seen that before, where they have like bubbles in the floor.
Okay.
So that it's more of a slight angle raising, more than you know, like a big you know, undulating surface. because I believe Daniel Liebskin, another German architect, actually, shockingly with that name, but he had it in a couple of his museums. But I mean, you can be a little more creative in that department when you're dealing with a museum, because you're kind of
it's not really supposed to be practical necessarily,
right? Yeah. It's an exhibition space, so you want the building to be art even more so than, you know, so even some other buildings, you know, the buildings have to serve a purpose. So I mean, you've got to account for some level of functionability. Some people worry about that less than others.
yeah, I guess I would have to see the floors to be able to pass a verdict on that. Like, I don't know if it could be like what you're talking about with kind of raised areas, maybe, or, you know, slightly.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't know if he just thinks slightly canted is not a straight line, because that was the other thing that I thought I saw, that the lines weren't necessarily straight, but it looked like some of them were just sloped. Really, so that they just weren't orthogonal. And they had kind of little dips in them, but I mean, that's just kind of... you're splitting hairs on what a straight line is, in my opinion, when you're doing that little to stay away from it. Because, I mean, if you don't want anything particularly straight, you know, make it more of a wave. Like, if you look at the architecture of Antonio Gaudí, he had a lot of waves in his, just even in his surfaces. They're still building one of his churches, actually. It's been under construction, La Sagrada Familia. But, yeah, like, I mean, there are ways to do that kind of architecture. And I don't know if he was influenced at all by this guy or not. Well, no, he couldn't have been influenced by this guy, because he was dead before this guy was alive.
That would be hard, then.
Yeah, I think he was in the 1800s, not the... I'd have to check here. I will check right now.
Well, you know, I guess he could still influence someone who came after him, so it could be the other way around.
Yeah, that is true. So, yeah, I mean, And that's the one thing I don't want to throw off. Like, I love the work that the guy's done. Like, I just it's one of those things where we had to learn it in architecture school, too, or at least I took some classes in it. I just think that sometimes I'm not good with really getting into the nitty-gritty of thinking about theory. And this guy, and I mean, there are any number of famous architects that kind of have their own theories. So, you know, it's nothing new, but sometimes I just think that it's overplayed. You know, the level of some of the thinking goes into it. Some of it is just them just kind of making shit up. In my opinion.
So it's almost like a justification of them, like they wanted to just do some crazy thing.
Yeah.
And they just sort of justified it somehow.
Right. Yeah, it's just like, fine, just do it the way you want to. Like, I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah, we should have,
Oh, okay, yeah. Gaudí died 2 years before this guy was born. So... Well,
yeah, okay, so they're pretty close to around the same time, I guess.
Right. So I would think that... And that was the other interesting point, though, is that he probably would have seen more straight architecture, like, in his time. So he definitely wanted to rebel against that. Like, he saw that as part of the oppression. Even though a lot of those guys from the Bauhaus actually left before the war. A lot of them, at least the famous ones, came to the U.S., because there was a large, well, the Bauhaus was a large school, but it did influence a lot of architecture in Germany,
and then this area of Germany was part of East Germany, so they were, you know, they had these like grim sort of communist era buildings as well.
Right, which would be more straight-line architecture, too, especially the slightly modern stuff that would have been around at that in that time frame.
Right. Yeah, so it's the building that he designed, that they called the Green Citadel, even though it's pink, confusingly, there's grass covering the roof, and like trees and things, which I would want, because he had plants in people's like living spaces too, like trees in people's apartments.
Right. Yeah. That part was, because the green roof is more, you know, I joked, and well, I don't know if it's really a joke though, but this guy was doing green architecture before green architecture had a name. Because, I mean, that's one way to reduce heat, is to actually put a lawn on top of it, because it absorbs more of the sunlight, so the heat doesn't come through as much.
Oh, okay, because the grass will absorb the sunlight.
Correct.
Hmm.
I mean, obviously, you have some structural problems that you need to deal with, because it's going to be heavier.
Yeah.
On a roof. So, I mean, there are some other expenses that are involved in doing something like that. But, yeah, I mean, that's kind of the theory behind it, though. You end up saving more money through, you know, costs of, you know, heating and cooling your building.
That's cool.
So, I mean, yeah, that guy, but the tree in your space... Like, I would hope that if you were, I don't know how you do rent in this place. Like, because it's apartments.
Right. It's a big apartment building.
Yeah, it's quite large.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know how uniform the shapes are, like, square footage-wise. I would hope that...
I would imagine there's some variation.
Yeah, and sometimes people pay to have that odd thing involved. You know, maybe it's a status symbol. You can go, hey, I live where the tree grows out of. Like, you know, sometimes things like that end up being kind of cool, like, even though it's counterproductive to what it's supposed to be doing. You know, like, you kind of want a window there, but you have a tree growing through it.
Yeah.
But it's still kind of cool that you're the guy that has the tree growing through his place.
Right, because there was the one building we saw, it just looked like there was this huge, I don't know what it was, a bunch of green spewing out of somebody's window, apparently.
Yeah, it honestly looked like a tree had been bent about 90 degrees, but then it started to grow down the wall.
Yeah. it looked pretty weird to me. The building kind of looked like it was in a state of dilapidation almost, but it was That was his, I think, intended effect.
And yeah, in the podcast that you're listening to, that was funny because there's a male host and a female host, and the male host is like, okay, this is where this guy just completely loses me, because he was okay with having mold everywhere.
Well, he would encourage it.
Yeah, he would encourage you to have mold, and he's like, nope, you've just completely lost me on this point.
Right.
Like, you had me up to this point.
I guess he also wanted moss-covered floors, which he never was able to get approved, so I'm not sure how that would work out.
Yeah, I think that was for the best.
It seems like you would be tearing up your floor all the time, right? I mean, I don't think moss is, like, the sturdiest of substances, unless I'm wrong.
Not usually.
Yeah.
I mean, it's usually quite easy to tear apart. So I kind of understand the soft, you know, kind of carpety effect that it would have.
Right.
I understand the theory, but the execution is not going to be good. Unless, again, like, you'd have to install, like, a full, like, lawn, like, in your house or something like that.
Right, and then what would be underneath there? Like, dirt, I guess?
Yeah, like, you'd have to do some type of tray underneath your floor.
So you'd have basically a dirt floor.
Well, and then you'd have to have concrete or something under that.
Right.
You know, I mean, you'd just have to have enough depth in there to be able to grow, you know, lawn.
Right.
But you'd somehow have to, like, I guess you'd have to water your house all the time.
Oh, man. This does not sound good.
Yeah, I don't know if this would really be effective. And you may as well have heated floors instead. It's going to be probably cheaper.
Well, yeah. You might as well get, maybe carpet. That would be cheaper, too.
Yeah. Just go with the carpet.
Get some green carpet. It's just, you know, the shag carpet they make. That's good. It's cleaner than dirt. I'm going to go out on a limb.
Yeah. I'm going on record.
So, yeah, that guy, I mean, he had some cool ideas.
Yeah, that's why after bashing him, I kind of wanted to come around. Like, I mean, I think it's the stuff that he did was pretty cool. Like, I always like someone that is able to put their stuff out there. It definitely does not happen often enough, in my opinion. A lot of predictable stuff goes on.
Right.
And I think more people could reach out in the architecture department in general. But it doesn't seem like that's
well, it's like you would have
an option.
Kind of change something that's, like, so basic about, you know, designing buildings that people don't really think about. It's like having straight lines. Like, it's just kind of natural that you're going to have majority of your lines are going to be straight lines. Like, even if you have arches and things, but, you know, you got your walls. Typically.
Yeah, I mean, it's just easier to build straight stuff. I mean, it's just a whole lot easier. So, I mean, that's part of the reason why that's done, just in general. So, you know, I don't think there's any way to get around kind of a majority of it and a minority of them being this kind of undulating surfaces. Like, a lot of people would be putting a whole lot of money into building these things.
Yeah, I mean, it's
maybe I just don't see it happening. Maybe that's probably a better
I guess I could envision a world in which everybody built this way, and, like, we would kind of figure it out, like, how to sell building materials in such a place. But yeah, I guess maybe not. It would probably just be harder to, like, they just used small pieces of things, like, that were at different angles?
Oh, yeah, I don't know. Like, that floor question really would be, because they kind of talked about it, but then he wasn't allowed to have the moss, the moss floors. Maybe he wasn't allowed to have too much of a unflat floor. Maybe it was just more of a slightly canted floor. Like, I mean, if you have to have a, if you're designing a flat roof, you've got to have at least a quarter inch slope to it so that there's some positive drainage. So I would think that maybe if he was trying to get away with that and he wanted not a completely flat floor, he would do something at a very low grade so that it was, you know, not straight, but,
right,
you know, it's some sort of an angle at least.
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing that we weren't able to find a picture of, is the interior of one of these apartments, because that would have been kind of interesting to see. And then later in the story, where we didn't get to earlier here, but he wanted to include something where it was called window right, and I forget it was, I don't know, some Fensterricht or something like that in German, where they were, anyone who had an apartment there was allowed to paint the outside wall where they could reach from their window, so they could paint like a frame around their window, I guess, you know.
That's pretty cool. I did not hear that part. That's well, it kind of reminds me of, because in England, when in London with the fog, like, it, you know, it was a problem. People painted their doors different colors so that people knew where to go home to. And that's why they're always bright colors also, you know, red, orange, white, things of that nature.
So the fog was so thick during this time that they had to make their doors easier to see.
Correct, but they personalized them by painting them different colors.
Wow.
So, you know, painting around your window is kind of similar.
That's some thick-ass fog.
Yeah, it is kind of ridiculous.
Well, wasn't that, like, partially, like, pollution, too, though? It was like a smog sort of situation?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or maybe a good part of it was. Yeah. Well, that's neither here nor there.
No, it really isn't neither here nor there. But, yeah, that was an interesting little podcast there. It wasn't very long. It was only about 22 minutes or something like that.
Right.
And it was just fun looking up his architecture. Like, I think a couple of times we've had architecture topics and we haven't gotten around to him. So I was kind of happy to do that.
Yeah, something that you've got some familiarity with in your day job.
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
And actually, we were discussing beforehand that some of my old knowledge of history is getting a little rusty these days. Mm-hmm. I couldn't think of a painter earlier tonight, and I still can't figure out who exactly I was looking for.
Well, I think we could make this a poll question. What is the name of the painter that Kevin is trying to think of? Anybody?
Yep.
This is just a write-in. You know, whatever. Which painter is it that he's thinking of? All right. Well,
yep.
If we can pivot from something completely unrelated to Pennsylvania or Ohio, but to maybe something that is in some ways related, because one of the people in the story was from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Yes, he was. It is the person from Pittsburgh. Really was just a bit of a lab rat, really. He was not the gentleman who was really at the forefront of this story.
Well, let's not keep the people in suspense here anymore.
Yes.
Just tell them what it is.
So, John Kane figured out that the Game King video card game in Las Vegas,
video poker
had a glitch in it.
Yes.
And the guy actually Because did they ever explain exactly what he did for a day job? Because he made a lot of money because he gambled hundreds of thousands to millions of dollars away, but still... Playing video poker, but still had like a house.
Right.
A very nice house, by all accounts.
Right. A big house. And
he played so much, he had one of these Game Kings in his house.
Like the actual casino game
was in his house. He lost like $3 million or something at a casino, and so they gave it to him.
It's like you probably could have bought like 50 of these at least, so here you go. Have one on the house.
Yeah.
No, I think it was actually like a comp that he got. Like,
yeah, it was a comp.
That is a pretty serious comp.
Yeah.
So
I mean, you've got a gambling problem at that point.
Right, and I believe that his attorney said as much.
Yeah, that was definitely part of his defense.
Yes.
Which is a smart move on his part.
Yeah. But he figured out that he could get the game to... like, he could play for low stakes hand after hand, right? But then once he gets a winner, he can, like, enter a series of, you know, button presses. The article actually called it the contra code of casino games.
Oh, I didn't get to that part. That is outstanding.
Which, for those not in the know, it was a code that you could enter on the game Contra for Nintendo. And it would give you 30 lives, I think.
Yeah, 30 lives.
Right, it was just like up, up, down, down, left, right, B, A.
And it was start if you were just one player and select start if it was two players.
Yep. So,
yeah, I mean, everyone knows it. Like, it's been weaved into so many different things.
Right.
I mean, I know I've seen it on Robot Chicken a couple of times, and I mean, I've seen one of online jokes a bunch too.
I've seen a T-shirt with the different symbols in a row. So yeah, it's penetrated the culture to some degree. But yeah, this is a similar kind of code. It sounded a little more complicated though. And he was able to get the machine. Then he would re-bet, and then he would be able to get the same hand again to be a winner, like at the higher amount. So he could like keep winning on the same hand multiple times, which is a pretty good way to make money.
Yeah, it turns out it's a hell of a way to make money.
So I don't know.
So much so that he got himself in a little bit of trouble.
Right, but he also got his friend in a little trouble. He calls his buddy from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, who's also a problem gambler.
Yeah, except that this was kind of the other interesting thing, is that this guy actually really couldn't control it and didn't have the means to deal with these kinds of losses.
He was not independently wealthy as this other guy was, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and I forgot that this guy was he was really good at playing piano.
Oh, the richer guy, yeah.
Yeah, the richer guy. The guy piano savant.
Right, yeah, he played piano.
On top of like a bunch of other stuff that this guy was rich for. I forgot about that.
He's some kind of entrepreneur, I want to say.
Yeah.
But yeah, he did pretty good for himself.
But I mean, I still don't. To be able to have to play this game, that like that's the other thing that amazed me, I guess. It's just like, how are you running a successful business and like just living at the casino? Like, how are you doing both things? Like, that just to me seems like it requires more days than or more hours in a day than you could really stay up for.
And I just don't understand like the draw of the video poker. Like, I've played it before. Like, there's the casino in town, and I don't know if I played it anywhere else or not, but I just went there one time and put some money in, and then I started playing. I'm like, okay, like, I could have this much fun on my phone, like, without losing money. Like, I don't know. I don't see what the draw is here.
I remember the first time I saw the video poker games, I thought it was cool because I couldn't believe they did it. Because I believe the first time I saw them was in Monte Carlo when I was 21. Like, and I was surprised that Sega was making them.
Was Sonic the Hedgehog on the side of the cabinet?
No. They did have a horse racing one.
Huh.
So they had video horses up on the screen.
Huh. Interesting.
I do remember that one, but I saw just video poker ones too. That were, more kind of, you know, Sega-ish for that time frame, Genesis level or so, graphics.
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure the graphics on this machine that we're talking about today, but
right. but yeah, I guess I didn't like. It was kind of cool at that point because it was more of a technology thing. But now, like, I'd just be kind of bored. Like, I'd want some sort of. I guess if you don't want interaction with people, right. and still want to get your poker on. I mean, I that's the only, I guess, logical one to me that I can come up with.
Yeah, but you could also do it online, I guess, you know.
But part of the thrill is losing the money or winning the money.
True, yeah.
I think that's where the addict part comes in, because both of these guys definitely had an addiction. Like, whether you could afford it or not, it, to me, is a different question than is he an addict or not. Like, they're both of the Pittsburgh guy couldn't afford it, and the other guy could, but they both had the same problem.
Yeah, and so this guy is super excited to get this call about this, foolproof way to...
Make money,
yes. So they have a lot of luck at this local restaurant, I guess, in Las Vegas. Where is near the rich guy's house or something.
Right.
And they're able to keep winning lots of money on that machine. But when they try to go to other places, it doesn't work for them. So, uh-oh. A little bit of a problem here.
Right. And then, you were... you read a little bit further than I did. You explained it to me right beforehand that... it was a bingo mode. That it needed to be in, and that you could request that to for any machine to be, you know, changed in this manner.
Right. I guess it's just like flipping a switch or something. So that once that was in that mode, then the trick would work. So they started going to town and splitting up and winning money on these machines. Now, here's what I wanted to ask you about, because they somehow came to an agreement, or the rich guys basically said, you know what, you're going to give me half of your winnings. Wasn't that the deal?
Oh, no, I didn't get that far, like, because he had flown back to Pittsburgh.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. After they had failed in their first attempts to figure it out, like... They hadn't figured out the glitch, so he went back. So he came back again then.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
He came back again, like, shortly thereafter when he figured out, like, why it wasn't working and how to get it working again. So,
Yeah, and I guess that was one thing, at least technology-wise, is that this glitch had been in this computer system for years. It's just no one had figured it out. Like, this guy just happened to stumble upon it.
Yeah, I mean, you would think with all the people playing it that somebody would have figured it out, but it I guess it was just such, like, a random... And it wasn't something that, you know, anyone had put in there on purpose to exploit.
Oh, right.
It just seems like it was a, you know, random...
A very minor error that was really hard. It's kind of like finding a needle in a haystack, really, if you want to go with that old cliche.
Right. There's some little thing that's not doesn't fit together right in the program. That, right. When this perfect conditions happen, it'll...
Neo's ready to break through the Matrix.
When someone takes the red pill, then the machine's in trouble. they were winning lots of money. And, okay, yeah, simple question. Do you think that makes sense for this guy to expect him to give him half of his earnings?
I don't think that's a bad deal. I mean, he came up with the formula. Like, you didn't have the money to even research it. Your ass was sitting home in Pittsburgh. And they're winning thousands of dollars, I'm pretty sure. Because, I'm trying to... it was like $8,800. Like, it wasn't huge amounts. But
that was their first run. And then they ended up getting like tens of thousands of dollars, yeah.
Yeah, well, because they were just saying, like, when he got caught... it was a $4,300 jackpot, and then $2,800, and then $4,150, and then he hit again. So, I mean, you're pulling in, like, like you said, $10,000. I mean, how else can you earn $5,000 that quickly?
Yeah, that's true. Well, the guy from Pittsburgh apparently had a problem with this plan later on. Like, he agreed to it at first, and then...
That is predictable.
So, yeah.
Never have a partner in a deal. It always causes a problem. Just go solo on deals.
Yeah, and why did he even need to bring somebody in? I guess maybe they... I don't know if he helped them work out some of it or something. I guess that's debatable.
Yeah, but, I don't know why you would, but maybe you just thought that he needed someone else to kind of confirm his theory.
Yeah, and then I guess if you can use this guy to make a little extra money, like, that's not bad either.
Right, but he's just thinking of him as a consultant, I suppose.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, he forgets that he's also an addict, which is a problem.
Right, and I guess it was like... the idea of, like, paying the taxes on all this winnings that got to him, because he had to sign the, whatever tax forms once you win over a certain amount.
Yeah, it's only $1,200.
Oh, okay.
If you win over $1,200, you have to sign for it. So, yeah, you are getting taxed on that.
Right, which, you know... it's unfortunate, but still, you're making, even if it's only, you know, instead of $5,000, it's, you know, $1,200 in a, you know, 5 minutes by sitting there. Like, still, that's not too bad, really.
Yeah, you're still doing pretty good.
I'm just saying.
But the problem, and I'm not surprised either, is that, this plan's only going to work so long before someone gets suspicious. Like, even if you move around, like, someone's going to realize that something funky is going on.
Right. Yeah. If you keep going for it.
Right. So, this one casino didn't seem to know who he was, but they also realized that something hinky was going on pretty quickly.
Something seriously hinky was going on, because I would recommend the article, because I thought it was pretty good, like the way it was written. It is long, but
I didn't think it was spelunking long, but it did have some length to it. I just ran out of time, and I did not try to read it while I was at the gym. So.
Right. Well, yeah.
There is that.
I would, if someone's interested in like kind of more in the details of the story, I would check out the article because it was pretty neat how they described how he described things in there as they kind of happened. So, check it out.
Yeah. Hitting a jackpot is rare, and so is hitting a TV jackpot. And David Lynch did that when he created Twin Peaks.
You're topping yourself with these transitions.
Well,
I didn't think you could do it, but
I was trying to actually get away with that, not actually acknowledging that last one. We've had to acknowledge all of them so far this show.
Sure.
So I was just looking to see if we could just roll right through one finally.
I guess not. So yeah, you're right about that though. David Lynch, director of films and creator of Twin Peaks, the surprise was that 1990?
Right, 90 and 91. Because it lasted two seasons. So
right. Now this, I don't know, this was a show that you and I had watched I don't know, for some reason it was like on a marathon or something one weekend when we were roommates.
Yeah. And we just marathoned it.
We watched several episodes of the show. I would say it was pretty interesting. Like, it reminds me of like, you know, like shows today, like the drama shows where it's like there's, you know, like a mystery or something, like, I don't know, Lost or
well,
The Killing.
Yeah, I think that was and I didn't think about it until just now here that they were comparing it to True Detective in other shows now.
Yeah.
And I think that there's a whole different quirkiness to what Lynch does.
Yeah.
That is not found in anything else that still even sets it apart. Like, I didn't see True Detective, but everyone said how well acted it was and whatnot this past season. So, I mean...
Yeah, I wouldn't mind checking that out too.
I generally heard positive reviews, but I can't really say, you know, whether I thought it was or not. But it didn't sound like there was a quirkiness to it that comes with Twin Peaks.
Right. I mean, there's just some stuff that's like pretty goofy, really. Like the log lady. I don't know if you remember her.
Yeah, that was one thing that I was realizing how little of this I remembered. Because you know, they were talking about how things went downhill after they solved the crime, and I'm like, well, they didn't stretch it out longer than that.
No, I kind of stopped watching after they figured out who did it, but
you know, that's one of those things. It's just like, yeah, if you're gonna have a mystery like that, you really gotta tease that thing out.
Right.
Wow, you can't do that, like, in the second season, midway through the second season or something.
Yeah, I think it was...
Or...
Was it even at the end of the first season? I'm trying to remember. No. Anyway, whenever, it was like, yeah. Nowhere to go after that, really.
Right. Yeah, you kind of screwed yourself, and I mean, it would set you up better for, like, a short series, and because they're only doing 9 episodes for this one.
Yeah, which is pretty, it's getting to be sort of pretty standard anymore for, like, big cable shows.
Right. You know, it's some low amount of shows. And I've liked it because it's worked out, really, for the positive. Because it just seems like there are more things on of quality. You know, so much so that I don't get around to watching all of them, like, True Detective or Breaking Bad. Yeah. There are a number of Sons of Anarchy, I guess, another one's supposed to be good. Haven't watched a lick of it.
Oh, yeah. I watched the pilot of that. It did look pretty good.
So,
it's just, like, yeah, you don't have time to watch everything.
Right. You know. It happens.
You got stuff to do, apparently, you know, in life.
I have podcasts to do, damn it.
That's right.
The one thing with Twin Peaks that I will always remember is that the one guy went to France.
Yes.
And he came back eating a baguette with brie and butter. And it became a munchie of choice very soon after we saw this episode.
Yeah, I think both of us were like, you know what? That sounds pretty good.
And I'll tell you what, it is really tasty. Like, I would be completely fine if the lady and I went to one grocery stop shopping this weekend, and I grabbed a baguette, some brie, and a little additional butter, because I'll tear through that thing in a hurry.
Yeah, you don't want to run out of butter when you still have the baguette and brie, you know?
Yeah, it's the combination that really makes it.
Yeah.
I like brie. I like butter. Together, even tastier. And get some nice crispy baguette in there.
You know what? Throw a baguette in the mix, and that doesn't hurt either.
You get the crunch in there. You don't have any crunch with brie or butter. You need something to crunch on.
Yeah, you really don't want to just take like a glop of butter and brie mixed together
and just pick and it up shoot and eat it.
Yeah,
yeah, it's just. And when you put it on a piece of bread
it just makes sense.
Yeah, know? It just makes sense. It it harshes down everything.
It goes together like brie and butter, you know. But they complement each other well. And he was just so into that brie and butter sandwich, like they both were. Like they interrupted everything that was going on at the time.
Yeah, with this sandwich, just to mention how tasty it was.
And he brought some back with him from France in his luggage. Yeah, they had to eat it right away. It was really pretty bizarre. And that's an example of sort of the bizarreness of the show.
Oh, well, and there was the dwarf.
Who was dancing backwards.
Dancing backwards. I mean, I think Justified, actually one show that I do watch, I think is very well acted, that's a detective show. I am not seeing any dancing backwards midgets.
Yeah, I think that was like the dream sequence of that show. It was pretty pretty crazy.
Yeah, there were a lot of trippy kind of am I on acid kind of moments.
Yeah, I mean the whole show it was kind of dreamlike, and I think that's kind of from what I've seen of David Lynch's movies, pretty similar to where it's just like things don't make necessarily logical sense, but they kind of make more of like a something that might happen in your dream, I guess.
Right. Yeah. There's some type of connection, but it's not not tethered to this reality.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And that FBI agent Dale Cooper, played by Kyle MacLachlan, was a big part of that too. Very eccentric character.
Yeah, and he's back. At least. He seemingly is back for this run, which I was excited about. I mean, I've liked him in stuff since then. I did, in fact, at one point watch Sex and the City, and he was Kristen's boyfriend for a while. Kristen Davis is her real name. I don't remember what her name. Charlotte.
There we go.
Thank you for the assist. I do remember him on that. I think there are a couple other things that he's been in since then. Things. So I'm excited that he's back, and it'll be interesting. I don't have Showtime, but at some point I'll end up watching it.
Yeah. I mean And I guess I didn't see this. Like I said, I stopped watching, but apparently the second season ended with Laura Palmer saying, "See you in 25 years."
Oh, right.
Which would have been 25 years ago, I guess. Or was it?
Yeah. Well, it was in 90 and 91. So at the end of the second season, she said it. So it would have been 91. So this is coming out in 2016.
Okay.
So it will be 25 years from that point.
And so I guess they're going to pick up the characters having aged 25 years. So.
Right.
I don't know. It sounds like it could be pretty good. Of course, you know, you never know, I guess, but...
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of hit and miss all in the same series, so...
Right.
They only have 9 episodes. I would think that they can get their shit together for 9 episodes.
Get focused, you know, knock it out.
Yeah. And I mean, like I said, I just think that the quality of a lot of these shows is good just because it is kind of a shortened time frame. Like, you don't need to kind of stretch things out. Like, just some material just gets old.
Like, you don't need the filler episodes.
Right. You know, that's what happened with some of those 23 episode, or even some of the 23 episode shows now. You can just tell that they're just kind of throwing shit in there in between.
Right.
Or that there are some episodes that just aren't as good as some others.
Well, and I guess, like, a lot of these shows were probably written by, like, multiple writers, like, because they weren't carrying on the same storyline. Like, I don't know. A lot of the shows we used to watch, like, Star Trek, for example, you know, like, it's not like you're going to miss something if you haven't seen the episode before this, you know, it's like... interchangeable, you know.
Right. Yeah. It's a serial, not a single episode.
I guess it's not a serial, really, because it really doesn't like follow. Maybe we're trying to say the same thing.
But yeah, we are.
It really,
because from episode, it's like Law and Order. They're kind of all disconnected.
Yeah, or Scooby Doo.
It's the same characters. It's just not necessarily connected. Like, they might reference that stuff, but. It doesn't really matter.
Although Law and Order does occasionally have these character-based episodes, don't they? Where, like, something big happens. Or, you know. But it's not like it affects anything necessarily. I mean, they might bring it back a little.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you can... within that show, you could catch up pretty quickly. Like, yeah. I stopped watching a long time ago. Well, I mean, it's not on anymore, but...
Don't they have, like, special victims unit?
That's the only one that's left.
Okay. Because that's got Ice-T in there, you know. That's right, player.
Yeah. I think Mariska Hargitay is the reason that one's still around. So, Ice-T, I don't blame him for continuing to keep probably a well-paying job.
Yeah, but it really has not gotten... Like, I've not gotten used to the fact that the guy who wrote the song, Cop Killer, is actually playing a cop on TV.
And has been for quite some time at this juncture.
Like, to the point where I probably should have forgot about the Cop Killer thing, but it's just so strange that...
Well, he redid Body Count last year. They came out with a new album.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You didn't know that?
No.
Oh, yeah. Body Count came out with a new album. They toured on it. So, like, he did that when they weren't filming.
So, did they have, a reprise of Cop Killer?
I don't think they
Special would... Victims Unit?
Cop Killers.
A spinoff.
I wish they would have had that. That would have been so awesome.
I would have thought of this last year, someone might have cared, but oh well. Yeah. That's not bad. Ice-T, Cop Killer. I'll have to check out that album, I guess.
Yeah, it's it was okay. I know that I heard it on Liquid Metal a little bit on Sirius XM.
Now, would you say he's mellowed somewhat in the intervening years, or was it pretty much similar?
Well,
I'm trying to think of some of the other songs on there. KKK Bitch, I believe, was...
Yeah, he has definitely mellowed.
Are they more like families? Was it a family album?
It was not a family album, I would say.
Was it a lot of holiday classics on there? Just mainly covers?
It was one of those things that I really liked it when it first came out, and I still like it. But it's also one of those things that the music is kind of bad and really simplistic, especially on the original Body Count album, which I did have I had a copy of that with the cop. I think I still have that somewhere in the condo.
You still have the Body Count album?
Yeah, and I remember my buddy Jason, I burned it off of him. He got it in CD. He found it in CD form somewhere, uncensored.
Back when people listened to CDs.
Yeah, back when people listened to CDs. Speaking of listened to CDs, I think that people can have listened to this podcast, because we're getting to a good time mark here, unless you are researching something very important over there.
Oh, no, I was just seeing if I could find Body Count on YouTube here to play us out, but...
That would have been outstanding.
You know, I'll have to see... I don't even know what this is.
That is definitely not Body Count. Ah.
Yeah, I guess this is it here.
There you go.
Not the song I was looking for, but... wait, you know what? Since it's the end of the night here... I forgot about this one.
Yeah, I did too, actually.
A kind of uninspired, I'd say, cover here of Hey Joe.
Yeah. Is there any evil dick there?
Oh my god.
What?
You
can't find that selection?
I got Evil Duck.
Is that the Weird Al parody? Evil Duck?
I don't know. It's just what popped up in my search. It didn't want to search for that for some reason. Oh, here we go.
Oh!
Evil Nice key. I mean, I guess you could say it's simple, but I would say by design, right? Oh, dear. Well, and on that note...
We will come to a close by not mentioning our Twitter handles, just in case anyone's
made it to this point. Yeah, please don't contact us about that.
We have tried not to break any copyright regulations
or any copycat regulations. We're trying to get it from any way we can think of here. We intend no malice or forethought, but we do intend to sign off. It's been another great show, Kevin.
Yep, and have a good night, grandkids.
Bye.